This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs with my co-hosts today, T. Xiao Yik and Lim Soo Ann. So as always, two stories for you today.
So first up, in the midst of various news updates and social media posts about the novel coronavirus, what many of us aren't talking about as much is the fact that people are recovering from 2019 and COV.
That's right.
So we'll be taking a look at what that recovery process is like for these patients. Mm-hmm. Most of you have been seeing updates on the novel coronavirus across all the news outlets, your social media feeds, and this has been going on for
here
the past
on BFM
few weeks.
Radio.
Exactly. every day we're seeing headlines that highlight how new cases are emerging, or the deaths that have occurred due to the novel coronavirus, or that countries are introducing quarantine measures, travel bans. But amidst all this, what we're not seeing as much is the fact that there are people who are recovering from the novel coronavirus.
That's right. So if you look at the current numbers, there are almost 31,500 cases of confirmed cases of the virus, and this number is rising all the time as well. Over 600 deaths have been recorded, but you know, at the same time, there are also more than 1,500 cases of recovered patients. And in recent days, this number of recovery has actually been rising steadily, which health experts say it indicates that the virus may not be as deadly as SARS. So if we think back to the SARS outbreak back in 2002 to 2003, that had a mortality rate of 9.6%, while this current novel coronavirus outbreak has a mortality rate of only about 2%. And the number of people who have recovered from this virus is more than double that of the fatalities.
Yeah, but every day, you know, Xinhua News, which is China's official press agency, they have been reporting on the number of recovered patients that have been discharged from hospitals across the country. 4 days ago, on the 3rd of February, it was reported that 475 patients were discharged, and the next day it went up to 632 patients. Then it kept going up to, you know, next it was 892 people. Yesterday it was 1,153 people. And this morning the number stood at 1,540 recovered patients in China. So the constant increase in the number of recovered patients should help to reassure the public and all of us that the infection is treatable and that patients can actually recover.
And that includes here in Malaysia, because many of us would have seen the recent news of a 4-year-old girl from China who has recovered from the virus. So she was admitted to the Sultana Maliha Hospital in Langkawi and has been treated in the isolation ward since the 29th of January. And according to Health Director General Dr. Nur Hisham Abdullah, the girl had tested negative twice in the test for the virus before she was discharged.
So currently there is still no vaccine or cure against the new coronavirus, but researchers are testing the use of HIV antiviral drugs against the new virus in the labs. And despite a lack of evidence from clinical trials, China's National Health Commission has said that the HIV drug lopinavir or ritonavir can be used for coronavirus patients. But they did not clarify how exactly these drugs might help.
Yeah, so amid all these reports of people recovering, of potential drugs that could be used, so to get a better understanding on, you know, what's happening in hospitals, how patients are being treated, I got in touch with Dr. Suresh Kumar Chidambaram. He's a consultant infectious disease physician at Hospital Sungai Buloh. And I first asked Dr. Suresh to explain how the novel coronavirus affects someone's respiratory system.
What we know, at least first clinically, what patients manifest, majority of the people looks like they're going to have low-grade fever or no fever at all. And then they get a flu-like illness, body ache, myalgia, sore throat or cough. And then subsequently, again, looks like most of them recover. A small group goes on to get pneumonia. In those groups, we know that the virus binds to angiotensin-converting as ACE2 receptors that is in the lung. So it does go and binds into the lung. And then it causes pneumonia. Again, the pneumonia can be very mild to quite bad until you require ventilation. Why some people get only mild pneumonia, why some people get bad pneumonia is not clear. But what we know is the elderly, the older people, and people who already have other diseases like heart diseases, diabetes, and other medical conditions are more likely to get severe pneumonia. That's all we know for now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so once you confirm that someone has the novel coronavirus, what is the course of treatment for them?
Correct. So we have quite a limited experience now. But we do speak to our Chinese colleagues how they are managing the cases. What looks like is most of them, we just watch them. As the fever settles, we might give them some fever medicines, or if they have some cough, we give them some cough syrups. But so far, they have not been that bad with regards to that. One of them had quite high-grade fevers for 5 to 6 days. Then we gave them regular paracetamol, so antipyretic agents. And then that's it. That's all they require. Some of them go on to get bad pneumonias, right? And there where then we are obliged to treat them for them with them antiviral drugs. We will do tests to make sure there is no added influenza there. If there's influenza there, we will give them influenza drugs. If there is no influenza, then and if they are becoming more and more hypoxic, meaning they require lots of oxygen to breathe. Then the treatment is fairly experimental. The Chinese colleagues have been trying HIV drug. The component inside is lopinavir and ritonavir. That's what is inside. And we have tried it on one or two patients here, and they have bad pneumonias. But whether it's helping or not, we don't know, because it is, end of the day, a self-limiting disease. The patients get better eventually. Mm-hmm. Whether the drugs helps or not, we will not know yet until we do a proper study.
Mm-hmm. So currently, when patients are recovering, is it due to their own body's immune system fighting the virus?
That's right. So some people, there is news reports saying a drug cures them. Drugs have cured person with novel coronavirus. It is a very tall statement, you see, because most people, the immune system clears the virus by itself.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start a drug and when the patient gets better, we will never know whether it's because of the drug that we started or the patient was anyway planning to clear it up. You will never know, you see, unless you do a study where half the people you don't give the drug, half the people you give the drug, and show that the people you give the drug do a lot better. Until then, we are not very sure. So what we're doing now is based on experimental models saying that it does work for this virus in the lab, and so we will give it to patients. And that's what we are doing currently. And we've used this drug for HIV for a long time, and we know it is a safe drug. And that's what is being done now. When they're very sick. So we will give it only for the sick people. Those who require lots of oxygen to breathe, they get a bad pneumonia. The others we don't give, because we know these patients get better without treatment.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And are there certain age groups who are more likely to recover from the virus?
So based on data from our colleagues in China, it looks like the elderly. So traditionally, when we say elderly, we say more than 65 years of age. But we don't have the age breakdown of all those. I think as of now, unfortunately, find it over. People have passed on in China. We don't have the age brackets of the people yet. All we know is those who are elderly do very badly. And as I mentioned earlier, those who've got other diseases like heart disease or kidney disease or lung disease, even earlier, these people also do badly.
Mm-hmm. And once someone recovers, is there that risk of reinfection? Is it possible if someone would actually develop some sort of immunity to the virus?
So you can technically get influenza every year, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can get influenza every year. So we vaccinate again every year, right? That's because the virus keeps on changing. And when virus keeps on changing, you don't mount the immunity forever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so based on SARS virus and MERS coronavirus, there were some changes, but the changes are not dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we don't know about, and we don't have enough data has come out yet on novel coronavirus, whether the virus is changing as you see. So what happens, they will sequence a virus, this month, and the virus that is found the next month and the month after, they'll sequence it and see whether there is any changes in the viruses as they evolve. Coronavirus are capable of changing because when they are multiplying, they've got an error-prone multiplication, so they can change, they can mutate. So if there is a lot of mutation, of course, then there's a chance of reinfection. If there is no chance of mutation, at least in the shorter time frame, there shouldn't be reinfection. But we don't know any data yet for the time being whether there is reinfection.
Mm-hmm. And once the person has recovered, you know, would there be symptoms that still linger even if they've been cleared of having the virus?
So those who have mild disease, within a week, they are back to normal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Those who have bad disease, we don't know. We don't know yet how long they're having. So traditionally, after bad viral fevers, people tend to have, we call it asthenia, you know. That is, they feel tired and they don't have energy, levels are very low. That does go on for a while, right? That is, but from other viral infections, they can have, if they have a bad disease, they can have some sort of those things. Beyond that, we don't know yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so for someone who has just sort of, who has just recovered from the novel coronavirus, what are some of the precautions or things that they should do?
So by the time we discharge someone, currently, by the time we discharge someone, we will make sure that we have checked for viruses at least twice,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they'll be negative. And so we are fairly confident now that they're not infective when we release them, okay? And so then they can just get on with their life. After that, I don't think there's any further precautions required. Of course, if they've had a bad disease, they should understand that they will feel tired for a while and they have to take it easy.
Mm-hmm.
Besides nothing else. One, as we go further down in the disease, sometimes we may not be able to have that. If in the event that the disease, number of people having the disease in Malaysia also mounts, then we may not be able to do such kind of two PCR-based tests to make sure they're negative before we send them home. In that event, what they will have to do is, for the next week or so, after we have discharged them, they should stay at home as much as possible. They should wear a mask and stay alone in a room 1 meter away from others. And if they cannot tolerate a mask, they have to have a good cough etiquette. What mm-hmm. cough etiquette means, when you cough, either you cough it on your sleeve, or if you cough in your hand, you wash it off immediately, or cough into a tissue, throw away the tissue and wash your hands. A good cough etiquette. These are the things that we will say for a week after you get discharged.
Mm-hmm.
But currently we are testing everybody and making sure they're negative before they go home.
So that was consultant infectious disease physician from Hospital Sungai Buloh, Dr. Suresh Kumar Chidambaram. I mean, personally, I've definitely seen a lot more articles that's been highlighting, new cases of people who have been confirmed positive with mm-hmm, the virus, mm-hmm. or things like, saying that this deadly virus has claimed more fatalities than SARS.
Mm.
A lot of more alarming, headlines rather than something that's a bit more positive or reassuring people. That it's you can recover from it.
Yeah, you are very likely to recover from it. And now we're seeing 1,588 recoveries. and that's, as you said, it's more than double the number of actual deaths. And remember, Juliet, we were looking at a headline yesterday about a pregnant mother.
Pregnant mother who had transmitted the disease to her newborn.
And that in itself is a very alarmist and sensationalistic headline that doesn't actually mean anything because it doesn't tell you, how the baby is going to be treated, how the baby could recover. It's just, it was just
so something
alarmist.
To terrify all pregnant mothers who have the coronavirus.
Absolutely. And all parents.
And then, of course, in the article itself was a tiny mention of another pregnant mother who, when she did give birth, the baby had no virus at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that was just like a throwaway kind of small little mention at the end. But the headline screaming at you,
yes.
Baby gets it.
Yep.
And I remember most of the news articles also say it right at the end that they're not, they don't, that they're not confirming that it is a mother-to-child transmission, yes. that it could just be a sort of a normal, the normal through droplets in the air transmission mm-hmm. from the mother to the child. So yeah, I thought it was just a bit too alarming.
Mm-hmm. And I think that seems to be the trend, I suppose, right? Across yeah. the world, I suppose that's how it is, right? That's how media organizations yeah. run.
Even that reporting that the current coronavirus has caused more deaths than SARS in mainland China. Yeah. That is also sensationalistic because what you should be looking at, you shouldn't be looking at total numbers, you should be looking at the rate of fatalities.
Yes.
And at 2%, it's very much lower than SARS.
Compared to 9.6% yes. for SARS, yeah.
That's right.
So I think with Typhoon coming this weekend, everyone should remember to practice good cough etiquette.
That's
if you're
right.
not, I think I read that the health minister said if you're not feeling well, it's better to not go out into public spaces, mm-hmm. stay at home and mm-hmm. make sure you're healthy and, you know, just don't go into places with that. Where there's a lot of people, where there might be a chance that you or someone else could fall sick.
Mm, and wash your hands frequently. Mm. That's a very good piece of advice we should all remember. And today at 4 o'clock on the Health and Living Show, we will have an expert from the International Vaccine Institute coming in to talk about the progress and the current efforts being made to develop a vaccine for this current coronavirus. What does that process look like?
Okay, so that's our Health and Living Show mm-hmm. with Dr. George
this
Friday. Today, of course, at 4 p.m. This
yes,
Friday. Today,
right.
Friday at 4 p.m. But, you know, do continue to share your thoughts. Do tweet us at BFM Radio. You can send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899 or you can call us at 03-7733-2900. We're going to take a short break now, but here's Feeling Good by Muse. You're listening to The Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. Or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.